flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
BTSL back on the Fan right now. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Make sure to check out the Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Baldy, the Jets have a new head coach. What are your thoughts on Aaron Glenn being hired by the Jets?
Well, I mean, he's a good prospect. I mean, he's paid his dues. He's been around. There's a lot of things to fix. My only concern is if things don't go well in the first year, how patient is Woody going to be? That's really my only hesitation. I think he knows how to coach. I think he knows how to motivate, get people's attention. But will they be patient? And what kind of staff is he going to hire?
Yeah.
Because I need to see player development, and I'm not sure I've seen a lot of player development.
No.
These guys that they were drafted high.
Yeah, you've seen player regression. Sauce has gotten worse. So I think Quentin Williams, not tremendously worse, but I don't know if he was better this year. All right, so Baldy, fair observations. I'm not going to push back on that too much. But if you were running the Jets, who would you have actually hired? You.
I think we fall in love with coordinators. And we just think, Andy Reid was never a coordinator. But they did their homework on Andy Reid. They hired the right guy. John Harbaugh was never a coordinator. But they hired the right guy. I'm just looking for leaders. Guys that have vision and know how to lead and can work with people, collaborate. And so, I think there's some guys out there that could fill that. I mean, this Liam Cohen looks like a guy that knows how to lead an offense right now, and the offensive guy in Tampa, what he did with Baker, and how you just listen to the whole team. Hank Fraley's out there. I know Hank, he's probably going to get the coordinator's job in Seattle, but he's never called plays. He's an offensive line coach, but he's pretty good, mm-hmm. And guys love him and play hard for him. So, I mean, there's other guys out there, but I don't want to throw shade on the hire of Aaron Glenn. He's been around, but I wouldn't put Aaron Glenn at the top of the charts only because he was drafted by the Jets and played there a long time, and Bill Parcells sang his praises. I mean, he sang Todd Bowles' praises too. Mm-hmm. And Todd Bowles has just won the division 4 years in a row in the NFC South, and the Jets ran him out of town. So they couldn't get the quarterback situation figured out there. There was other issues, and so those are the same issues that Aaron Glenn faces right now.
Well, that's, you kind of lead me into this, Baldy, because I think when the next thing is really addressed publicly, whether Glenn wants Rodgers or does not. And both Sam and I believe strongly that he will want Rodgers. Now, does Rodgers want Glenn? We'll find out. But see, one of the things I think he's got to avoid here, if he can, and Rodgers can help with this, you don't want to start 4-13 and all, you're in a hole right away. And then year two, second week in October, everybody's calling ups, fire him. He's the wrong guy. They stink. Even though Rodgers is only a bridge really for a year or so, if Aaron Glenn can bag some wins and get some equity in the fans, and more importantly, the building, then I think he gets a longer runway to change the culture. Does that make sense to you?
Yes and no. It makes sense from the standpoint of your first part. You don't want to be 4-13. I get that part. But at the same time, you got to start building this thing. You need a guy. Washington turned it around in 1 year. They got a sensational player. And that happens once every 5 or 6 years, maybe, if we ever see something like that. But at the same time, it's going to cost them money whether they keep Aaron Rodgers or they unload Aaron Rodgers. It's going to cost them a lot of money. And so, Sean Payton was able to build with Bo Nix because he's a great coach, a great proven coach. And he got the most out of a rookie quarterback and got him to the playoffs, which was amazing, in a tough division. So, it's like almost damned if you do and damned if you don't right now. I understand the need, but if you bring Aaron Rodgers back, and I'm not opposed to it,
yeah,
and you win seven games, you're not going to be in a position to draft at the top of the list, whoever that might be. You're going to be in the same situation you are right now, picking seven.
You know, two things I wanted, or at least one of the two things I wanted, Baldy, for the next Jets head coach. One would have been experience. Pete Carroll was out there, Mike McCarthy, just to name a couple. If it wasn't going to be an experienced guy, then I wanted an offensive mind. With the way that the sport is, I feel like you'd better off taking a chance on a guy who at least can have an innovative offense and potentially develop a quarterback. Where do you sit as far as hiring an offensive guy versus just an overall head coach or a guy that comes from the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I mean, if you hire a defensive guy and you build a great offense, you're going to lose your offensive coordinator like the way Tampa has. You know, they lost one last year. Maybe they'll lose Liam Cohn. I don't know. But if you, that's the problem, is if you hire a defensive guy and he ends up building a good offense with an offensive coordinator, you're going to lose the offensive coordinator. Sean McVay loses offensive coordinators every year, it seems. But, you know, he still runs the offense. So that's the issue with hiring a defensive guy in this league right now.
What about the inexperienced GM potentially to come along with a first-time head coach?
Well, it's a problem. It's a problem. I mean, ideally, I mean, it doesn't always have to be this way, but ideally, you want the general manager to hire the coach. And it doesn't always work where these guys know each other. I mean, obviously, Dable and Shane know each other, but, I mean, how's that turned out? You know, so yeah. That doesn't guarantee anything either. But you kind of would like to get ultimately, you want a guy. And I was talking to Joe Banner, the former Eagles general manager, this morning. And if you think there's a dearth of good quarterbacks in this league, there's a bigger dearth of guys that know how to build an organization. And the Jets have had that issue for a long, long time right now.
Yep.
Finding that guy that knows how to spend the money, knows how to draft, knows how to hire coaches that know how to draft and develop and teach, you know, and so you can get yearly improvement from, you know, all these different positions that you draft and develop these players. So, like, that's the bigger issue right now than a head coach to me, is finding a guy that knows how to build an organization.
And they have been absolutely putrid doing that. There's no doubt. Baldy, let's get to the games here. So I was telling Sal about this article that I read yesterday about Jaden Daniels starting each morning off with 30 minutes of virtual reality to really, you know, hasten his going through different reads and progressions and just kind of seeing things as quickly as possible. So we know he's a really great athlete, and, you know, some of the things are obvious, but what does make him a great young player? Why is he different than other young quarterbacks? What's the separating factor right now?
You know, I was just, I went back, so he was a freshman at Arizona State in 2019, and he took his team, Arizona State, they were nobody, up to Oregon, who was a fifth-ranked team in the nation. And they beat Oregon that day. And you watch him play as an 18-year-old freshman. He was skinnier than he is now. And he's skinny now. Mm. But he was skinnier then. But you already see, like, the arm strength, the location, reading a defense. This is before he was doing virtual reality goggles, you know, in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like, he just has it. I mean, I don't want to just simplify it to it. But there is, you know, he beat the Detroit Blitz time and time again on Saturday night. I mean, time after time. Not a great, kind of an indictment of Aaron Glenn. But he literally chewed him up play after play. He saw a pre-snap. He knew where to go with the ball. They stacked plays in Washington the way a lot of teams do. He can run the read option to the right, or he can throw it to the hitch to the left. He makes the right read time and time again. He is extreme. And the thing is, he does it all from the shotgun, and he calls the whole offense. He gets everybody lined up. Like, he can process all this information that everybody has to handle. And some guys have a hard time handling it. And he's doing it in his rookie year with a complex offense. So he's just an amazing student of the game. But I read that, you know, he was playing flag football when he was five. Like, he was a great basketball player. He was great in track. Like, he's just one of these guys that's been great at every sport that he's played.
How about the Baldy on the road with all that's on the line in this environment against that Eagles defense? I know that we shouldn't put anything past Jaden Daniels, of course, but this is going to be a very difficult task on Sunday.
It is, but, I mean, he came to Philadelphia in week 11, took the team right down the field and scored in the opening drive. Like, bing, bang, boom, and scored. put up 36 points after turning it over five times in week 16 in Washington against the Eagles. And it's the same defense. So I don't think there's going to be any panic. And what they just did in Detroit, which is every bit the atmosphere they're just going to see in Philadelphia, they don't have – I mean, they have better talent than Detroit on defense. But still, to put up 38 points offensively, one on a pick six, but to put up 38 points like you did and turn it into a track meet, nobody could have predicted that they were going to start that way. And so, like, they've got house money. They've got all the confidence in the world. They've got a great offensive coordinator that is in sync with the quarterback. Like, I think this is going to be difficult for Philadelphia.
Hmm. How about the AFC Championship? Is this finally the time Josh Allen gets over the hump and gets his team to a Super Bowl?
Well, look, he's 7-5 as a starting quarterback in the playoffs. Not like he's been losing, but he's 0-3 against the Chiefs. They changed the overtime rules because of how the game ended 3 years ago when Patrick Mahomes scored in the opening drive and he never got a chance to get the ball. So he knows what this is all about. They had a great game plan in earlier this season where they spied Patrick Mahomes, and it's just kind of hard to believe, but Patrick Mahomes didn't have one rushing attempt in that game. Like, their spy shut down any scrambles that he had. Now, that's one game. It's one technique. It worked against Kansas City the first time. They won that game 30-21. But I just refuse to bet against Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Spagnuolo. Like, they've won too many big games, especially when they've been counted out in games in so many times, and they just keep finding a way to do it.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of watching them. You're getting bored with them, Baldy? Come on, man. Enough.
Now, look, I love Josh Allen the way everybody else loves Josh Allen. And I love Sean McDermott and Deion Dawkins. And, like, I love that group up there. But this is, I mean, this is still the Chiefs. And I don't think there's a mental block or anything like that. I don't think Josh is saying, oh, my God, how do we beat King Kong here? I don't think it's anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just, Spags is just, like, what some of the things he did last week to Houston, like, you just don't see anybody doing in this league. Like, he's still, if I just charted all the pressures of Steve Spagnuolo in just a one-month span, I've run out of paper.
He's a great coordinator. He really is. Baldy, before I let you go, this is actually going back a week or so, but I find it interesting. Boomer weighed in, obviously. Tiki, Chris Sims, former players. Are you putting that play on Mark Andrews or Lamar at the pylon, the two-point? Because a lot of people blaming Lamar.
No, you can't blame Lamar.
A lot of people are.
You know, Mark Andrews, you know, it's look, he catches that ball 98 out of 100 times.
Yeah.
He bobbled it. He couldn't get a handle on it. It happens. But, I mean, Lamar missed one, guys, the other two-point conversion earlier in the game to try to make it 21-21. He got a ball tipped at the line of scrimmage when he had Isaiah Lakely wide open. All he had to do was throw a helium ball and just let it fall into his hands. And, you know, the ball got tipped by Milano at the line of scrimmage. So Lamar has, you know, he's got some skin in this loss, but for sure. You know, the fumble was inexcusable. And then I don't know what happened between him and Rashad Bateman. He's throwing a go route. Bateman's running a seven cut. Taylor Rapp intercepts it. Like, I'm not sure who that's on.
Yeah. And also Andrews dropped the ball earlier in the game and fumbled earlier in the game. I mean, catch the damn ball. No. What do you want the guy to do?
Because he's been such a great player, like, he does get some latitude, but it's never one play. But certainly, if Mark Andrews doesn't get that ball stripped in the middle of the field, they probably win that game. If he catches the two-point conversion, he wins. But I wouldn't throw all the shade at Mark Andrews. I think there was a lot of blame to go around. Their defensive line was second in the league in sacks. I mean, they did nothing to pressure Josh Allen in that game.
All right, Baldy, we appreciate your time as always. Enjoy championship weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, man.
Let's do it, guys. You bet. Talk to you next week.
There you go. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Make sure to check out the Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. We'll come back, get back on topic with Aaron Glenn. What else do we have to do?
Power up next hour. Let's go.
I knew there was something else that we had to do. Power up, in which we will rank our top five movie soundtracks, our favorites of all time. So we'll do that coming up at 1:20, and we'll get you updated coming up in a little bit with Bogus here. BT and Sal on the